This is WLVR. It's time to Take Five with Grover Silcox. Grover is an award-winning television host, feature reporter, writer, and comedian. Each week, he'll offer his insights and observations on life. Today,
why I remember JFK. I recall a story about JFK's sense of humor. A scandal involving an American ambassador abroad made the headlines. Evidently, the man was caught sneaking out of a woman's hotel room and was chased down the hall by reporters while trying to pull up his pants. At a White House press conference, a correspondent asked the president what he intended to do about it. Kennedy quickly replied, "I guess we're going to have to find faster ambassadors." And the room burst into laughter. He's often remembered as the wittiest president. For many, John F. Kennedy is the name of an airport or the name of a street in their community. Others think of a myth more than a man. Revisionists wrote about his flaws and the dark side of Camelot. Still, in recent surveys, he's rated as one of the best modern presidents. What accounts for his popularity? Is it all image, the young, charismatic president with a towering rhetoric? I remember the spark he ignited in me. I was only 10 when he was elected. Whenever he appeared on TV, I stopped what I was doing to watch. Even at that tender age, I had followed his campaign. His Boston accent, World War II service, and love of history all captivated me. He quoted poets, philosophers, and other great thinkers. I looked up the people he quoted to learn why they were important. Suddenly, I wanted to know about the world beyond my neighborhood. His presidency began on a chilly, snow-covered January 20th, 1961, amid clear blue skies and a new sense of optimism. Like millions of Americans, my family and I huddled around our TV to witness the inauguration. He was Catholic and Irish, like us. Kennedy stood, hatless, right hand raised, and repeated the oath of office. Afterwards, he spoke. "We observe today not as a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom." Outgoing President Dwight D. Eisenhower and former President Harry Truman looked on. His opponent in the election, Richard Nixon, was among those seated behind him. Kennedy voiced the pride we felt as Americans. "We are heirs to a revolution," he declared. He was speaking about the revolutionary idea that our rights come, as he put it, not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. As the first president elected who was born in the 20th century, he proclaimed, "The torch has been passed to a new generation, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace." He spoke of progress with other countries. "United," he said, "there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do." He pledged help to those struggling in huts and villages around the globe. "If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich," he asserted. Was it the melodious quality of his voice that inspired us? Or was it the lofty ideals he espoused that lifted us up? Yes, we would ask what we can do for our country. The late opinion columnist Pete Hamill wrote that he and his father were visiting Belfast, his father's native city, when they got the news that President Kennedy had been assassinated. It crushed them. They weren't alone. Throughout the city, Irish Catholics and Irish Protestants poured into the streets and wept. Citizens of the world, from heads of state to people living in huts, shed tears for the man whose voice brought them hope. To this day, I smile when I think of JFK's beguiling eloquence and the nobility of his ideas. Whenever I hear President Kennedy's voice, that inspiration comes flooding back, as does the sorrow still lodged in a young boy's heart.
Lehigh Valley Public Media's Grover Silcox. Find out more by visiting WLVR.org/take5.